is in the life-changing business. Amen. Many of you have a testimony where God completely changed your life. Now, I understand. I got saved when I was a little boy, and on the outward side, there wasn't a ton of change. But some of you got saved as adults into the deep into this world, and the Lord just completely did a work in you and changing of life, I tell you. Casting off the works of the devil and the flesh, and just in the power of God, becoming a new creature in Christ. Amen and amen. I didn't know they were singing that today, but I praise God for it. And it goes right along with what I'll be preaching today. We had one saved in Sunday school today. Amen. A sword of the Spirit class. Amen. I'd encourage you, if you got saved today, come forward at the invitation. Let the church know about it. And it'd be a blessing, be a help. And I think it's great for us when we make a decision not to hide it. We make a decision. Let the church know about it. Amen. And show it off. I was excited when I got saved. I didn't have a problem telling everybody that I had gotten saved. Amen. I mean, I was in the baptismal tank the very next service. Really, it's because the preacher told me to, and I was a boy, and he said, "Get in there, boy." And I said, "Yes, sir." Amen. I was taught to respect authority. Amen. But I learned later why I should have done that, and praise God, I'm glad I did. I'm glad he told me to do it right away. Amen and amen. 1 Samuel chapter 10, please. 1 Samuel 10, and is where we are today, and we're going to start in verse 6, and that is our text today. And then I'll give you a little background to it. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. The Bible says here, amen. I hear some pages still rustling. Amen. Thanks for bringing your Bibles. Amen. Your King James Bibles. Amen. Praise God. And you say, "You're just old-timey. What's the deal with you?" Yep, I like God's Word, the way He meant it, the way He said it, the way He put it down. Amen. And I hold true to it. Praise God. I don't want the watered-down versions. Come on, I want the King James. Amen. 1 Samuel, I done offended half of you now. Listen, look at that. Amen. Don't leave. Listen, God loves you. And we can get you a real Bible. Amen. We can get you one. And just ask for some help. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 6. 1 Samuel 10, verse number 6. The Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." Lord, would you help us now as we look at this passage and we understand, Lord, what you are preaching today. And I pray that, God, you would take, Lord, this sinner before you, Lord, this old vessel here. Would you just preach it through me? Lord, I've tried to prepare myself. Lord, I've tried to ask you to fill me and empty myself of my flesh and my way and my thinking, Lord, and just be open for whatever you want. And I pray, God, that you would use me. And Lord, you would preach your word. And I ask you, Lord, to bring it out. Lord, if it's not from you, Lord, may I forget it. May it go about the wayside. But Lord, if it's from you, may it be preached with power and boldness today. Lord, may the Spirit of God, Lord, just convict hearts today and help us, Lord, as we hear from you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. If you're not ready to hear from God today, just pray right there in your seat. Say, "Lord, help me. Forgive me my sin. Help me to just get myself out of the way, my flesh, my thinking, and all my plans. And help me, Lord, feed me from the Word of God today." Amen. Well, that was weak. Come on now. Amen. Amen. We want to hear from God today? Yes. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Here we go. Listen now. What's going on in this passage? This is King Saul. He's just been anointed in verse 1. Okay, he's the first king of Israel. He's just been anointed in verse 1. And Samuel says to him, remember Samuel the prophet, right? The boy grew up in the temple because his mama dedicated him to the Lord when he was the promised baby. Listen now, she was barren and he gave her a child, and she says, "I'll give him to the Lord." Amen. And he rose up in the temple there and was a prophet of God. And he said to Saul, he said, "The Spirit of God's going to come upon you. And you're going to start prophesying, tell you now, and God's going to change you into another man." Come on now. That's what he said. Now, that's my version. I understand that. Read the King James and you'll get it right. Amen. But listen now. What's going on in this passage? King Saul. Now, in chapter 9, we're introduced to him. And here we find out that he's the son of Kish. Kish, and he's a Benjamite. He's of the tribe of Benjamin, a Jew. And his daddy's donkeys are lost, and he goes, and dad says, go on and find my donkeys. Take one of the servants and go on and find my donkeys. And so they go on, and they're looking for him. And along the way, Saul, he wants to quit. He's been looking for a while. He's not found him. And the servant says, wait a minute. We need to go see. There's a man of God in this city. We need to go see him. That's what he says. If you're looking in chapter 9, it was verse 6. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. Amen. A man that will preach the truth and deliver the word of God. Listen, there's cities around us that need a man of God. That's why we're planting a church in Chambersburg. Amen. Need a man of God to pick up the mantle and carry on and preach it. I think, is it today, Jared Ballou's opening service up in northwestern Pennsylvania, Newcastle up there. Amen. He's had his getting started meetings all this week, and now today's his opening Sunday. There needs to be a man of God in that city. There needs to be one. Amen. And listen now, man of God, when we're thinking about that, in the Old Testament, a specific prophet, but in the New Testament, the truth is, every single one of the men in here ought to be a man of God. Saved with the Spirit of God inside of you. Listen now, he took this boy, listen, and he was humble in the beginning. He says, I'm of the least of the tribes. I'm of the least of my family. He was humble in his beginning, and God changed him in and made him start preaching. Made him start prophesying in this passage. Now in verse 6, he says, there is in this city a man of God. And he goes on there, and they go to Samuel. This is Saul and the servant. They go on and they find Samuel. And Samuel says, okay, fantastic. I'm glad you're here. I want you to wait with me until tomorrow. He says, I'm going up to this place, and I'm going to have a sacrifice to the Lord, basically a church service. He says, I'm going to church, but you can wait. Amen. You can wait on me tomorrow. We'll take care of business. Wait a minute. What's he saying there? He's saying the church house has got some priority to it. That's what he was saying. He says, you hold tight. Listen, now I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord, and tomorrow we'll take care of things. I've got a message for you. And he says that right in the end of chapter 9, verse 27. It says, and as they were going down to the end of the city, this is the next day, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand thou still a while that I may show thee the word of God. He says, Saul, I got the word from the Lord for you, and I want to give it to you. Look at verse 1, if you would, in chapter 10. This is when he's anointed. Look at it. It says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Remember, the people had cried for a king, and God picked out Saul, and he was anointed. Listen, when they anointed in the Old Testament, they'd take that olive oil, and they'd pour on the head. Remember, Aaron was anointed as the high priest of Israel. The Bible says the oil ran down his head, and it came down his beard, and it started dripping off his beard, ran down there like that. They would do that because in the Bible, some of you, you know, I've been teaching this to individuals recently. In the Bible, oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. And so they wanted the high priest to be full of the Spirit. They wanted the king of Israel. God wanted the king of Israel to be full of the Holy Spirit. And that oil representing that. And so as they go on, he's anointed. And he's given him some instructions about what's going to go on. He tells him that the donkeys have been found, that everything's okay. And he goes on from there. And then he gets to verse 5 and he says, after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is a garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp. What's going on with that? Those are all instruments. They're going to praise the Lord. They're going to start preaching the word of God and start singing the word of God. Hey, music is biblical. Church music is biblical. Right music pointed to the Lord is biblical here. Amen. And it says here, before them, and they shall prophesy. Now verse 6 is our text. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Wow. Look at verse 7. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Amen. Amen. That God is with him now. He's been anointed, and the Spirit of God is with him. Listen, Saul was never a prophet before. He'd never, in our vernacular, saying a preacher, he was never a preacher before. He'd never gotten up and preached the Word of God and had the Spirit of God about him and with the power to preach the Word, but he did that day. Listen now, he did that day. The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him and he started prophesying. Listen now, and they were singing praises and prophesying in the name of the Lord. See, in the Old Testament now, let's kind of get some understanding, a little bit of teaching, Bible teaching here. The Old Testament, the Spirit of God came and went as he pleased. Okay, he was not promised to an individual just because. He came and went as he pleased. But we know that the Bible teaches us that he came and he entered into men when God wanted to give the word of the Lord. I believe Samuel, when he was telling Saul these things, that he had the Spirit of God about him, giving him the word of the Lord. We know that David had the Spirit of God at times when he started to pen down the Psalms. Amen. When he started penning down the Word of God, we know that Moses truly was with God and had the Spirit of God. There was never a prophet like the prophet Moses, God said about him. Amen. He says that in Deuteronomy. And these men had the Spirit of God. But they didn't take him for granted. Listen now, they didn't take the Spirit of God for granted because he came and went as he pleased. And it was not a promise. Brother Michael, what not a promise to you and me that he would be in us. But he came, and when he did come, the work of God went forward. That's Old Testament now. That's Old Testament. And Brother Michael, are you in the Old Testament still? You dressing in the Old Testament? You look like Moses? You're going to grow a big long beard? No? No? Okay, all right. We're not in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament now, listen now, the New Testament, we're given him freely. Now, let me give you some scripture to, you say, well, are you just shooting from the hip here? No, no. The Bible says in the Old Testament, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says in the Old Testament, we got the Word of God because the Spirit of God got involved. Amen. We're a little dead this morning. I think I might need to preach 2, 3, 4 hours. I mean, come on. You're sleeping anyway. What are you going to care? Amen. I tell you what. Let's get involved. The Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of God. Amen. All right. I got some ladies now. Where's the men at? Hey, man. Come on. Let's get with it. Let's get with it. Okay. All right. Good. We're still sleeping. I mean, come on. Wake up. Dave Wilt. Wake up, buddy. He's awake. Okay. All right. Moving on here. Listen now. In the New Testament, we're given the Spirit of God freely. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When you get saved, you are given the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus told the disciples, I got to go away so the Comforter will come and he'll be with you and he'll empower you. Remember when the Lord said, in the Great Commission, that ye shall receive power before he told him to go out and be a witness to all the world. You know where that power comes from? It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And he's given to Christians freely. He's given to them freely. And here we understand what the Bible teaches. Now, I give a little bit of doctrine here about the Trinity. Wait a minute. What about the Spirit of God? I mean, is it just like a... is it just like a figment, a whim? Is it something spooky? No, wait a minute. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, it says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, that's Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 right there, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's what the Bible says. Listen, we don't need to worry about spookiness and all that. We're talking about God. And the Holy Spirit of God is just as much God as the Father is. And he's just as much God as the Son is. And the Bible says that when you get saved, he enters into you and you have God within you. Amen. You wonder why you're going through life and you get a little conviction about something. You get a little, well, you know, that's not right. I need to change that. you know what, God, I need to give that person a track. I need to do this. That's God working inside of you. That's Bible doctrine on the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, guiding you, leading you. And here, back in our text, we see Saul in the Old Testament. He got turned into another man. Now, listen now. In the New Testament, you can be turned into another man. You say, I'm not a man, I'm a woman. Well, praise God. You're mankind. Amen. Hallelujah. Mankind made in the image of God, and you can be turned into another woman. Amen. Mankind, man. Amen. It all applies there in the English language. We understand that. God wants you to be a new creature of Christ. Did you know that? You can be turned into another man. Become a new creature. Would you go with me to the New Testament? Let's just go to that passage. 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians, if you would. What is that chapter? 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's that verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Turn over there if you would. 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. The Bible is very clear about this thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Wait a minute. If he be in Christ. Did you know getting saved is a choice? You got to choose it. And you're not born saved, and you're not given salvation just because somebody else got saved. You're not born into a family so all of a sudden you meet the requirement. Wait a minute. You've got to say, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus to save me. Lord, would you save me, please, so I can become a child of God? It says, if you be in Christ. Just because you came to church this morning doesn't mean you're a Christian. Help me now. Just because you've been a member of some church for a couple years doesn't mean you're a Christian. Listen now. You must be born again, being saved. Man, Vic and Gina down here, I remember when they got saved right in this back room over here. Amen. Praise God. I remember when they met the Lord, they got born again. And it was for real. Amen. And I appreciate them. Amen. And so he's turned into another man. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what the Lord wants to do with you? He wants to save your soul and turn you into a new creature in Christ. That's what he wants to do. He wants to turn you into another man. Amen. The Trinaries are back. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Trinary. Glad to have Mrs. Trinary. Glad that you brought him to church today. Thank you so much. I know it's tough work living with that man right there. I tell you what. Man, oh man. But Brother Trinary, God wants to turn you into another man, a new creature in Christ. I believe you are. Amen. God's been working on us for a long time now. Come on now. I mean, look at that Steve Knipe over there. Man, now God's been working on him a long time. Amen. And now, we're just praying for Mrs. Knipe, okay? God needs to work on her. Amen. All right. And moving right along now. Listen, God wants to change your life. He wants to make you into a new creature. But listen, there's things that you've got to say yes to if that's going to happen. So you're saved and you got God inside of you. But listen now, the Bible teaches us that some of us grieve the Spirit of God. You know what that means? That means God's inside of us and he's ooh, ooh. I didn't like that. The Bible says sometimes the Spirit of God prays for us. Did you know that? Yeah, come on. The Bible talks about that. Okay, listen now. We're grieving the Spirit instead of letting Him change us into a new creature. You know what we're doing? God says, I want you to get to church this morning. We say, oh, I got another plans. He's poking our hearts, right? I want you to get to church this Sunday morning. Oh, but we got other plans. Well, I got to get the boat ready. I mean, warm weather's coming. I mean, come on. I mean, it's raining outside, but I got to mow my grass. I'm looking for any excuse to stay out of church. You follow me now? And that's the flesh, that's man trying to make excuses when God's poking your heart. Yeah, you know what he does to us fathers? He says, quit being dumb and start teaching your kids and your family the Word of God. And start investing in them and leading by example. And well, we're busy. And you know, you got this thing this night and that thing that night and this thing that. Wait a minute. It's time for us to yield to the Holy Spirit of God and let Him transform us into the new creature, the new creation that He wants for us. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Listen, before we get saved, it's the natural man. That's who we are. We're just in the flesh. We're sinners. And we don't understand the things of God. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians, or is it 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe, talks about. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God enters within you, and He starts to develop in you and teach you spiritual things. That's why you need to be in Sunday school. Amen, Brother June, amen. We got some great new Sunday school classes just started up to add to all the ones we already have. Amen. Brother Jeff, amen. Praise God for it. And we ought to get into the teaching of the Word of God, learning the doctrines that God has us, the truth of the Word of God. And the Lord, He starts to develop us into a new creation for Him. I'm a work in progress. Did you know that? I've been a work in progress for the last 36 years. Amen. It takes a long time for this one, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Amen. No, it'll keep being that way until Jesus comes again. Or until I die and going off to glory. Amen. Either way, I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Now listen now, before we get saved, we're the natural man. Let's use the picture of when, you know, we understand that Acts was a transition book, and the Lord had promised some things, and He had to bring them to pass. So we know the disciples, and they had faith in Christ, and they watched Him die on the cross and raise again and all that. But the Lord had that transition time when He actually sent the Spirit once and for all that are saved in Acts chapter 2. We understand that. Look at Peter before the Spirit of God came, and look at him after the Spirit of God came. The natural man in Peter, the man without the Spirit of God in him, he kept putting his foot in his mouth. I mean, every time he turned around, he was getting rebuked by the Lord, saying, "Get behind me, Satan! Don't be talking that way." Right? Or here he's been walking with the Lord for 3 years, but yet he goes around the fire with the world. Yeah, listen now. Starts denying Christ and cussing up a storm. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, he didn't have the Spirit of God about him yet, but after Acts chapter 2, he gets the Spirit of God. This man who never went to a day of Bible college, never really understood too much all that. He was an unlearned fisherman, the world says about him in the book of Acts. And he stands up at Pentecost in a ginormous crowd of people, starts preaching the Word of God, and 3,000 people get saved that day. Hallelujah. And not only saved, they get in the baptismal tank, listen, probably down at the river there or somewhere, they get baptized now and they get added to the church. Amen. Not only did they get saved, but they followed through on some things. Why? Because a man filled with the Spirit of God was turned into another man. Amen. Amen. And that's what we're talking about here with Saul. Amen. Peter was powerless before the Spirit of God, and afterwards he had great power of God to accomplish these things. Listen, if I don't get up here in this pulpit without the Spirit of God, it's going to flop and it's going to fail. It's going to be powerless, and you're going to wish, why was that man preaching? Get somebody else up there with the power of God. Amen. But if we have the power of God, then we understand the Lord is working and God's confirming things in our hearts with the power, with the Scripture, and God teaches us. And the preaching of God is to them that perish foolishness, or unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. I know I'm giving you a lot of Scripture today. Maybe I'm bouncing around a little bit, but I believe God's in this thing and He wants to change your life. He wants to change you. He wants to take you from what you've been into a new creation for Him. He wants to do that this morning. You say, well, I've been saved. But listen now. Listen, some of you, you've been saved, but you haven't yielded to the Spirit of God. Yeah. Listen, it's like some of you, you've had this sickness for a while and you just won't go see a doctor. You know what that is? It's foolish pride. That's what it is. We need to go and we need to get where we got to go where we can get fixed. You got to come to church. It's an emergency room, a hospital room. You come in and you say, I need some help. I need the truth. I need somebody to tell me what I need to do. Listen, you need to get saved. You need to get right with God. You need to start yielding to the Spirit of God. Amen. Listen, when I've got an emergency, I got to get to the hospital and get fixed up. Listen now, come on, because some of us were dumb and we do dumb things. It's amazing. We're still alive. Amen. But we got to get to where we can get fixed up. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here under the preaching of the Word of God today. You need to get fixed up. You know what we do? Say, Lord, if you're not saved, God, I'm coming to get saved. Invitation time. If you don't know what that is or what that means, I'm going to invite you to come forward at the altar right here to meet with the Lord. And maybe you're not saved. You don't know what that means, or perhaps you know what it means, but you've never done it. And God's poking you, say, you need to go forward and get saved. I'm going to invite you in just a few moments to come forward and receive the Lord as your Savior. That's right. So I'm going to take a Bible and show you exactly what you need to do to receive Christ. But how about those that are saved and you've just been holding on to things in your life? You've been holding on to things and you've not given them up to the Lord now, and you're not yielding to the Spirit of God. Come do business with the Lord. He's poking you. That's right. He's poking you. I know the Lord's working in here. I know what's going on. And we're not yielding to the Spirit of God. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. And then we'll wrap up the message now. Go with me, if you would, over to Galatians. Galatians, please. Chapter 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5. God wants to create in you a new creature. He's started the work when you get saved, but it's a continual thing with the Holy Spirit of God. And need to be changed from the inside out. You know, that's what Paul said. You know, that's what Paul said. He said we're renewed by the inward man day by day. You know what that inward man is? It's God on the inside. He says, I'm changed by the inside out, not the outside in. Listen, you can't slap a suit on a man and send him into church and expect his whole life to be changed. You can't do that. It's got to happen on the inside. It takes the Holy Spirit of God in a saved individual to keep working in a heart, and that heart to do this. Watch. Yield. The heart's got to yield. Yes, Lord, I hear what you're saying. And I yield to you. God, I will get rid of that sin in my life. And Lord, I will take on this thing that you want me to do. And I will follow step by step, Lord, as you lead me. Holy Spirit, as you lead me, I'll yield. Amen. But you know, our selfish pride, we hold on to our way. No, this is my way. This is what I want. This is what I want to do. And we hold on to it. No. We need to yield. Yield to God. Don't yield to a preacher. Listen now, don't you? I'm not anybody that can change your life, but God can change your life. And if through the preaching of the Word of God or the teaching or the counsel, listen, sometimes when I meet one-on-one with folks and I give the Word of God and I give counsel, it's not me, it's God and His Word, and we need to yield to Him. Amen. Now, sometimes God uses preachers, but don't follow blindly a man just because. Don't listen to my opinion just because. Listen now. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. In verse 22, we're given the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But look at verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Wait a minute. Are you saved? If you're saved, you got the Spirit of God. You live in the Spirit. But what's he say here in verse 25? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is a choice. It's a command, but you've got to decide to do it. You can't just, well, I'm just going to be a new creature, but I'm just going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs. I'm not going to do anything. Wait a minute. He says, if you're in Christ, if you live in the Spirit, meaning you got saved, you were given the Spirit of God, you've got to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? What are we talking about? It's exactly what Ephesians chapter 5 said. Don't be What did he say? Ephesians chapter 5 is at verse 18. He talked about wine. Yeah. He said, don't be drunk with wine. Where is excess? Listen now. But be filled with the Spirit. You know what he's saying? A controlling agent, like an alcoholic drink. He said, don't be filled with that. Amen. That's Bible. Don't be filled with that. A controlling agent, like an alcoholic drink, don't be filled with that, because you won't be in your right mind. You'll be controlled by something else. He said, instead of that, as some men go after those things, you leave that aside and you get filled with the Spirit of God. Another controlling agent, but this time it's God that's in control. Amen. Filled with God. Wait a minute. How do I get filled with God? I mean, where's that pump that I pull up to? I'm boom, 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 and get filled with God. How's that work? Listen now. I've said this many times from this pulpit. I'm going to keep preaching it till the day I die, because I believe it and it's real, and God's doing it in my life when I give Him that, when I yield to Him. Listen now. If you are going to get filled with God, God's got to get more of you. You don't get more of Him, He gets more of you. I got all of the Holy Spirit that I could get when I got saved, but the problem is I shut Him in a closet and say, you got to just stay right there in my heart. Kind of like I used this illustration the other day when the Lord gave me this on the radio there. And I've said it here before. You come in my house, the front door of my house, and there's a little coat closet right there. And I invite you over to the house. Okay, whoever it might be. Okay, Brother Bill, I invite you over to my house. And I say, oh, you're in my house. And I shove him in the closet. Well, I got him in my house. I had him over. Man, we had a great time. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he had a great time. But he's in my house. You know, that's the same thing. We've done that to the Holy Spirit of God. We've said, well, yeah, I want to get saved. We were given the Spirit of God, and we locked him in a closet. He didn't have influence all around the house. He didn't have influence with my family, with me. Listen now, we do that with the Spirit of God. He's got to get more of you. It's yielding. Yes, Lord, you can have a little bit of time in the morning so I can spend time with you. Yes, that's yielding. Sure, maybe you're not a morning person, but maybe it's at night. But you spend time with God, you put the Scripture inside of you, and you spend time with Him. Amen. Yes, Lord, I'll yield in this thing. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I'll yield. Yeah, I got another plan for Sunday. Wait a minute. God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Yes, Lord, I'll yield so I can learn and hear the Word of God preached and learn from it. Listen, how do you get filled with the Spirit of God? Look, did you see verse 24? That really is the key right there. Verse 24 is the key. Look what it says. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. What does that mean? Just as Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and in the flesh He died, you and I have to die to our fleshly selves. What's that mean, preacher? What are you saying? I'm saying my way, my plan, my thoughts, my desires, my everything, and I die to myself. I put it aside. I get rid of it and I say, Lord, what you want of me, here I am. God gets more of you. He gets all of you, and then you can be filled with the Spirit of God. That's exactly what it is. The problem is, Christian, the problem is many of us, we aren't living that way. We just get up and we go about our day and we just do whatever we feel like. And we're not filled with the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God, but He's locked in the coat closet. And we're not filled with the Spirit of God. It takes some yielding. Literally, if you were to pray and say, Lord, empty me out right now, Lord. Empty me. I know that there's some things I desire, but if that's not your will for me, let me just get rid of it. You know what I find that is sometimes, not every desire is wrong, everything that we want. Listen now, I had some desires in life. And yet, when I yielded my life to the Lord, now I'm talking about me specifically and surrendering to God into full-time service, but I had some desires in my life that I wanted. I mean, things that weren't important really in the grand scheme of things. I liked living in this part of the country. I'm a mountain boy. I grew up right here. Listen now, I grew up right here, really and honestly, 30 minutes from here on the other side of Harper's Ferry. Listen, I love this area. But God moved me to off to Bible college for a while and then off into Michigan on the mission field. Amen. Talking about mission field right there. Amen. But I married a native and now everything's okay. So, but listen now. But he brought me home. But I was content to stay up there if he wanted me to, but he brought me home. Sometimes he does give you that desire that you have. Not every desire is wrong. Listen now. I sacrificed some things. When I went off to Bible college, I had things. I had possessions because I was a young man chasing the dollar. And I had a motorcycle and I had a four-wheeler and I had a truck with a plow on it. Bless God. Hallelujah. I want to work a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And I gave that stuff up so I could go off and learn the Word of God in Bible. It costs money to go off to Bible college. You know what? Over time, God started giving me some of that back. Little desires. Those aren't important. They're possessions in this life, and they're all going to burn up one day. Listen now. But God brought them back. Listen. Spirit of God. It's about yielding to the Spirit of God. And when God has His way, the power of God can come upon you. You can be a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Filled with the Spirit of God, and you can accomplish some great things for Him. Amen. Yesterday, we had people going out soul winning. Did you know, in the group that we had going out soul winning, some people, listen now, we filled an entire bus and went out downtown Martinsburg, started knocking doors, giving out the gospel. Amen. Two people got saved. Praise God for it. Did you know that everybody that went out in the church's name, in the Lord's name there, knocking doors, were not filled with the Spirit? Not everybody was. That, in a group that size, I guarantee you, not everybody was. But there's some people that were. And you know what? The people that were, listen now, they didn't trip up on the word so much. They had the power of God about them. And when they were giving out the gospel, the Lord was working in hearts. Hey, two people got saved. Praise God. You know who does that? Mankind doesn't do that. God does that. Amen. If I've got the story correct, the two people that were there, there was some kind of delay at a door. If I've got this, if I'm understanding, Miss Holly, I think this is correct. There's some kind of delay, and they kept talking to this person for a while about random stuff. And you know what God did? He brought two young men that were headed that way, headed to that door. He brought them in a few minutes later. Listen now, and they needed to hear the word of God, and it was those two young men that got saved. You know who did that? God did that. He caused a conversation to just be innocent and be extended a little longer so that the soul winners would still be there when those two young men came. We literally prayed yesterday that God would send us to people that were seeking the truth. And He did. He did. Praise God for it. Listen, I'm about finished up. I have some questions for you. Are you saved? Are you saved? If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. If you're not saved, you don't. We're talking about the abundant life, transformation of you. We can be saved and not have the abundant life. And what that is we're not yielding to the Spirit of God. That's what it is. We got Christians out there that are just, it's like we're still in the world, but yet we're saved. We have the Spirit of God, but we grieve Him. We lock them in a closet, and we're just so miserable. You can see it all over the faces and in their life. Listen, it's a miserable life to be a child of God that's living in the world. It's miserable. What are you talking about? I love living in the world. No. There's sin. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Trust me, I lived it. I know it. And after a while, you get miserable. And that's the truth. It's time to yield to God. Come back home. That'd be a great song for the invitation. Whoever's playing today, come back home. Invitation, come back to the Lord. Come back home. Listen now. If you need to get saved, I invite you to come forward when we start the invitation, and we're just about to do it. And if you listen now, Christian in here, let's give up our life and say, "I yield to you, God. I yield. Whatever you want." God, you want my children? Listen now. I've seen many of parents and grandparents throw flame on the Spirit of God because they're too scared about their children moving away. And God had big plans for one of those children maybe to go to another continent and win the continent to the Lord. Listen, it's been done before with the power of God. But we're just throwing water on the flame because we're too scared. We're going to be missing them at the family dinner. Listen now. Let God have His way. You're more safe in the center of the will of God than you are right here in Martinsburg, out of the will of God. Lord, help us today, please. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this message. Thank you that Saul was turned into another man. Lord, I pray, God, please, we as Christians today, we as individuals, God, would yield to you. Lord, I pray for the one today that's not saved. Lord, if we were to ask the question, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Lord, there would be some here that say, I don't know for sure. I can't tell you for sure if I'm going to heaven. I hope so. I think so. Lord, the Bible says we can know so. We can know for sure, according to 1 John chapter 5. And I pray that you'd give them the courage to step out of their seat and come down front here and say, I need to know more. I need to learn about how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven. How can I know I have eternal life? And Lord, I pray for those that are saved. Lord, I believe truly that some folks, Lord, some of us, we're just tired of being who we are in the flesh. We keep falling back into the same pit. Lord, we keep going back to the same things. We're miserable. Lord, why do we want to continue in that? Lord, I want that abundant life that you've promised with the Spirit of God. That fruit of the Spirit that we read earlier, Lord, that love, that joy, that peace. God, all of that. I pray that you convict hearts this morning and help us. Help us to respond. Help us to yield to your Spirit and not resist. Lord, I know, God, that you brought this about for a reason, and you're tugging on some hearts today. Lord, who you're tugging on, may they have the courage to just say, yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Lord, help us now. As the piano plays and we stand together, Lord, help us.